It's time for Tuesday Terror here on the Mutual Audio Network. Be sure to leave the lights on while you listen.
The following audio drama is rated PG-13, suggesting that children under the age of 13 should listen accompanied with an adult.
She wanders the streets most days, pushing a rusty old shopping cart full of knickknacks. To most, the various items are garbage, but to old Mags, they're priceless bits of treasure.
You think I can't see you? Well, I do, and you can fuck off.
Mags is one of a handful of people wandering around today who can see the world for what it truly is. Beings of magic, demons, angels, vampires, she sees them plain as day. Sadly, Mags is the result of what happens when an angel and a demon have a child together.
Don't even think about it, goblin boy. You touch my shit and I'll rip your fucking arms off and beat you to death with them.
While not a demon or angel, Mags has characteristics of both. Some think of it as having the best of both worlds, but the opposite is more accurate. Angels and demons were never meant to procreate. Often, it results in the monstrosity that has to be destroyed. In Mag's case, it caused severe mental illness.
Piss off. This is my spot. Mine, you hear? Ain't no dwarves sleeping near my tent.
Despite her illness, Mag's is a great source of information. She has visions I have often found quite useful. But that's only on one of her good days. Most of the time, she either ignores you, or in some cases tries to kill you. Oh well, here goes nothing. Hello, Mags. It's been a spell.
Fuck me if it isn't Captain Pacey Face himself. So, what the fuck do you want now? Now, I want that bagel toasted just right, Doc, but not too dark. Darkish brown. Know what I mean?
Darkish brown. Gotcha.
And cream cheese. It has to have cream cheese. But not smeared. I want it dollop on, not smeared. I hate smeared.
Dollop, not smeared. Gotcha.
And then you add bacon. I want it crispy. Really crispy. Almost cremated.
Cremated bacon.
Then I want the bacon layered on the cream cheese and put it all back together like a sandwich.
Make like a sandwich. You want to cut it in half?
Of course I want it cut in half. What do I look like, a fucking barbarian? I have standards, you know? Then I want a beer. None of this fucking IPA shit either. If I wanted beer to taste like cat piss, I'd drink cat piss.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but we don't serve alcohol here.
You don't serve... What the fuck sort
of... It's fine, she'll have a root beer.
I hate root beer.
Ginger beer, then.
Ginger beer. Fine. Oh. And be a dear and add a slice of tomato and maybe some lettuce to the bagel, would ya?
Slice of tomato and lettuce. Anything else?
Well, I wouldn't mind
it... No, that's more than enough.
Right. I'll bring the order out when it's ready.
I could really have gone for a bag of salt and vinegar, you know?
Salt and vinegar always gives me dry mouth. Sit down, would you?
So, what's it gonna be, Byron? Little hand job under the table? Maybe something private in a bathroom stall?
All I want is a chat, Mags. I assume you've seen what's going on.
Oh, you mean Portland going from a nice place to live to a steaming pile of shit? Too much of that fentanyl shit going around.
No, not that. I meant the mass vanishings.
Well, that's kind of hard to miss, isn't it? Whole bunch of people going poof was bound to catch my attention. Good riddance, if you ask me. Bunch of smug religious fucks.
That's one way of looking at it. Another is they're all safe, while the rest of us are going to deal with the end of the world.
Oh, they're not safe. Once the beast gets done deep frying the earth, it's gonna fuck the outer realms. Just because their doors are closed means nothing.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. I want to know if you've had any visions on a way to stop it.
Stop it? What makes you think I want to stop it?
Because it's going to destroy everything.
Since when did you give a shit what happens to the planet? You're the dumbass who let Rome fall. You caused the Black Death in Europe. I'm still not convinced you didn't have anything to do with that COVID shit.
Some of that was necessary, but I never wanted the whole planet destroyed.
Well, I for one can't wait for it to happen.
But why?
You think I like my life? My every thought is a storm of madness. The few moments of clarity I get are fleeting before the storm comes and takes me away again. I don't want to live like this, Pale Man. Not anymore. If the world is ending, I welcome it.
Max, there are ways to treat your condition.
Oh, yes. The pills. You know what it's like on them. You're always tired and never fully awake. Your thoughts are lost in a fog bank and you can't think clearly. You just sit for hours and hours as one day blurring into the next. That's not living, Byron. That's hell.
I'm sorry, I didn't know it was that bad for you.
Huh. Like you give a fuck. The pasty-faced goon who lives in his tower never does shit for anyone unless it serves him in some way. Fuck. If anyone deserves what's coming, it's you.
So I take it you haven't seen a way to stop it?
Oh, no. I've had visions, Byron. A whole shitload of them. But I sure as fuck ain't gonna tell you anything.
Here is your order. Hope you enjoy it.
I sit back in my chair as Mags tears into her meal, stuffing her face as fast as she can. She probably hasn't eaten in days. The sad truth is, Mags is right. I generally don't do anything unless it benefits me in some manner. I'm only trying to stop the beast because it threatens my own agendas. I notice a knife that the waiter brought to the table with Mags's meal. I pick it up and look at its sharp, serrated edges. Then I glance back at Mags, who continues to shovel food into her mouth. A grim look crosses my face. I was making my way through the Portland Rose Garden that leads to my tower. There were bloodstains all over my shirt, so I pulled my coat closed, covering it up. I'd left Mags by a homeless camp near the steel bridge. She was still breathing. At least I think she was. It had taken a lot of persuasion to get Mags to tell me what I wanted to know. But now that I had that information, I didn't really know what to make of it, let alone how it could help me. As I came upon my tower, I found the front door was wide open. Cautiously, I went inside.
I don't know how you drink this swill, Byron. It's like sweetened diabetic piss.
I came into my study and I saw him. The Lord of Hell, Mr. Logan himself, was sitting before the fireplace. Mead requires someone with sophisticated taste to enjoy it properly.
Oh, I see. Either way, I'll stay with Stout. Now then. Did you really need to do that to old Megs? Cut her up like that? Oh, I know you're desperate, but that was really uncalled for. And people say I'm sadistic.
The difference between you and me is I take no pleasure in what I do. You, on the other hand, take an obscene delight in the suffering of others.
Well, everybody has their hobbies. Tell me, did she say anything useful?
Yes. Something about only one pure of soul can put the beast back in its cage. Now, you tell me something. How did you get in my home?
Through the front door. See, there's this thing called a doorknob. Amazing device. Anyways, if you turn it, it releases a latch that lets open the door. After that, it's easy to go in or out. Well, unless you're a vampire, of course. Then you still have to be invited in. But you get my point.
I left the door locked. There are also a number of spells on this tower to keep out unwanted guests.
Oh, Byron, Byron, Byron. I am the Lord of Hell. I come and go anywhere I please. You should know this by now.
So what brings you to my home, O Lord of Hell?
I am afraid I come bearing unpleasant news. It concerns your brother.
Slate? What about him?
I'm afraid he's dead, Byron. Slate's been murdered.
His home had been made out of ice, a vast spire that reached into the heavens. But now there was nothing left of it but massive chunks of ice, as well as the torn-up bodies of the dead. The remains of those who served my brother lay scattered about the frozen landscape. Logan and I walked among the ruins that had been Slate's home. Soon we came upon an altar of ice. Resting within its frozen center was my brother's body. I walked up to the altar and placed one hand upon the icy surface and looked at his resting remains. Throughout the eons I had known Slate, I had found him to be as cold as his realm and infuriating to deal with. His stubbornness and arrogance was the stuff of legend. Yet now that I looked upon all that remained of him, all I could think about was how much emptier my life would be without him. Regardless of everything else about Slate, I knew he loved and cared about me, and that was gone now. I turned and looked at Mr. Logan. I don't understand. Who did this, and why?
Your current enemy. The Beast's forces attacked the Winter Realm. As powerful as your brother is, even the mighty winds of winter were unable to stop their destructive power. In the end, they slaughtered him and everyone who stood with him.
Why would the Beast murder Slate? He's not even part of this conflict.
Why? That should be obvious, Byron. It's sending a message to you. A warning of sorts. It's showing you what could happen if you keep interfering with its agenda.
No. No, there has to be... I mean, why wouldn't it just... No, this doesn't make sense.
Oh, I'm afraid it makes perfect sense. Its followers warned you to back off once, and you ignored that warning. Now it's showing you what could happen if you persist working against it.
And is that why you're here? To deliver its message?
No. No, I am here because Slate was my friend.
You and Slate were friends? Oh, please, Logan, you can do better than that.
It's true, Pale Man. Your brother was one of the few who never judged me for my rebellion against Heaven. One of the few who still spoke to me after I was cast into Hell. Slate was always there for me. So understand this, Byron. Your brother's death affects me greatly. I came here because I needed his help. When I saw all of what happened, I...
Wait a moment. You came to Slate for help? Help with what?
I haven't told you everything, Byron. A lot's changed in recent weeks.
What sort of changes?
It has to do with my realm. See, there is...
Logan never got to finish his sentence, for at that moment there was a brilliant flash of dark crimson energy. A grotesque, demonic creature manifested itself between Logan and me. It had animalistic features, horns, fangs, claws, as well as a tail. It glared with hate at Mr. Logan, and with one mighty swipe of its tail, sent him hurtling in the air to come crashing down hard into the icy room. Logan remained quite still. The demon then turned and looked at me.
Well, well, well. If it isn't the Pale Man, and all in one piece.
Magnus, right?
Wait. Wait, what did you say?
Your name. It's Magnus, if I remember correctly. You were one of the demons with Satan when he dismembered me.
You remember me?
Kind of hard to forget someone when they rip your arms off. What are you doing in the Winter Realm, Magnus?
What am I doing here? Why, Pale Man, since its conquest, Winter is now part of Hell. Didn't you get the office notice?
Winter, part of Hell? You've got to be joking.
Do I strike you as one who is into jokes?
I don't know. For all I know, you might be big into why did the chicken cross the road jokes.
Why did the chicken... What?
Why did the chicken cross the road? It's a joke.
I don't know. Why did the chicken cross the road?
Oh, that's easy. He went to see the idiot. Hey, wait, let's try another one. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The chicken.
Magnus, Archduke of the Fourth Circle. You will turn and face me.
While Magnus and I were chatting, Mr. Logan had picked himself up and dusted the snow from his coat. It was clear he was very angry. Red demonic energy spilled from his eyes like steam from a cup of tea. Magnus turned and faced the Lord of Hell.
Are you still here? You should be smart and run away while you can. We serve a greater master now.
Well, I am Hell's Lord and Master, and I always will be. As for you, nobody lays a finger on me, Magnus. Nobody!
A sadistic smile crossed Logan's face. He raised one hand and snapped his fingers. Magnus exploded, and fleshy chunks of his body rained down over the ice ruins. Not to mention a lot of his blood sprayed all over me. You could have given me a little warning before you did that.
Sorry, Byron, but I was in a hurry. I think we've been here long enough. We should leave.
What the hell did he mean, Logan? When did you take over the Winter Realm?
I didn't. Magnus said Hell had control of it, not me.
But you're the Master of Hell.
I was the Master of Hell, but things have changed recently.
You want to explain that to me?
We should really get out of here. If one demon found me, you can bet others will be on their way.
Not until you tell me what is going on.
Fine. The beast came to Hell, Byron. It manifested itself before me and asked me to pledge my loyalty to it. It asked me to worship it.
I guess that didn't go over well, considering you refused to worship anything but yourself.
I did decline its offer, yes. So it went and found someone who would be loyal and worship it. Satan. The beast promised to make it the supreme ruler of Hell. It combined its forces with the demons loyal to Satan, and they made war upon me.
So they defeated you?
Not completely, but I am losing the war. It's why I came here, to ask Slate for his help. But, well, you know. So now I have to turn to you.
Me? You want me to help you regain control of Hell? You're the last person I would help.
Byron, we are fighting the same enemy. It only makes sense that we work together.
I don't trust you, Logan. Especially after what you let happen to me the last time I was in Hell.
You may not trust me, but you do need me. You're not prepared for an enemy like this. For all your cunning, when it comes right down to it, you don't have what it takes to stop the beast.
Neither do you.
No, I don't. But together... Together we may find a way. Help me, Byron, and I will help you.
Fine. But I warn you, Logan, if you betray me...
Yes, yes, yes. You'll unleash a terrible something on me. Now then, I think we should go. I don't know anyone who is pure of soul, but a lot of people owe me favors. Perhaps one of them can point us in the right direction.
I turned once more to the frozen altar that held my brother's remains. Goodbye, Slate. I hope wherever you have found peace. Until we meet again down the road one day.
Come along, Byron. We have work to do.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Byron Chronicles, Crucible, Part 4. Written by Eric L. Busby, featured in the cast were David Ault as Byron, Heath Martin as Mr. Logan, Beth Cook as Old Mags, Tracy Babione as the waitress, and Eric L. Busby as the archdemon. Script editor was Tracy Babione. Sound design by Eric L. Busby. Music performed by Kevin MacLeod and Royalty Free Music. Byron theme by Kai Hartwig. You've been listening to an Eric Busby production, copyright 2023.
Hi, this is Brendan Jones, and I have a couple of questions for you. First, are you a fan of audio drama? Since you're listening to an Eric Busby production, I'm going to guess the answer is yes. Good on you. Now, second question. Have you heard of the Tesla City Stories, Portland's live recreation of the vintage serialized radio shows of the Tesla Broadcasting Company? If so, you have excellent taste, and you're in luck. After nearly a decade as a purely localized live show, the Tesla City Stories is now available as a podcast on all your favorite platforms. Now, as we take the big step to bring these wonderful shows to a much wider audience, we're looking for help from fans of quality audio entertainment by way of a fundraiser. You, yes you, can help us improve our production and raise our profile by going to www.boost-tesla.com and making a donation of any size. Can't afford a donation? Well, you can help just by spreading the word. That's www.boost-tesla.com. And what do you get out of it besides our eternal gratitude? Why, more Tesla City Stories, of course. Now that is a great deal.
Buddy, can you spare